الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, all praise is due to Allah. May Allah salah and salam be upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his noble, his pure family, his noble companions, and those who follow their path until the day of resurrection. We continue inshallah. This would be, alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh, this will be the third part of the subject, which is knowing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In the last part we talked about the beginning of the revelation and how he received Jibreel alayhi salam, how he received the first verses declaring his prophethood, and that was Iqra, read or recite in the name of your Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took that and he went to Khadija, and then how she took him to Waraqa ibn Nawfal, and all of that we have discussed in the last talk. And we also talked about the types of al-wahi, the six types of wahi that which Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah had illustrated beautifully, as well as the conditions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam during the inspiration, during the revelation. Now we move inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after the pausing of the of al-wahi, after the pausing for a while, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel with the command to declare to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he must now openly, he must propagate the message. And this was in Surah Al-Muddathir, Surah Al-Muddathir, Ya Ayyuha Al-Muddathir Qum Fa'andhir. This was in Surah Al-Muddathir, Ya Ayyuha Al-Muddathir Qum Fa'andhir, stand up and proclaim. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took upon this task of propagation, depending of propagating the da'wah, depending upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, putting his trust in him. So he called people to the worship of Allah. The beginning of the propagation was secretly. It was done secretly. And a few of the people of Quraysh, a few of the tribe of the Quraysh, accepted Islam. A few of them. The first one, as we know, to believe in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's message was his wife Khadija. She was the first woman to accept Islam, his wife Khadija, may Allah be pleased with her. And from the first male was Ali bin Abi Talib. From the first male was Ali bin Abi Talib, as reported in At-Tirmidhi with authentic narration. His age was 10 years. His age was 10 years. And this has been strengthened by Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar rahimahullah. The information, he considered it to be strong information, indicating that the first of males to accept Islam was Ali bin Abi Talib. And the first of men to accept Islam was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, may Allah be pleased with all of them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said regarding Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَعَثَنِي إِلَيْكُمْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent me to you, فَقُلْتُمْ كَذَبْت. Your response was, you are a liar. And Abu Bakr, however, said, صدق. He spoke the truth. He is truthful. And وواساني بنفسه ومالي. And he comforted me with himself as well as with his wealth. This is reported in Sahih al-Bukhari. After that, the entire family of Abi Bakr, his family, accepted Islam. The family of Abi Bakr, may Allah be pleased with them all. And on the hands of Abi Bakr also, five of those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the glad tidings to them to be from the people of paradise, five of them accepted Islam by the way of Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with all of them. And from them is Uthman ibn Affan, Abdul Rahman bin Auf, الزبير بن العوام and he was 16 years of age, وسعد بن أبي وقاص وطلحة بن عبيد الله. Those five with Abu Bakr and with Ali bin Abi Talib and with Zayd bin Haritha were the first eight to accept Islam. Were the first eight, they are known as the first eight who yani, were alhamdulillah hastened to the exception of Islam. Other than those that we named accepted also Islam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam concealed their reversion. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam concealed their reversion. Why? Because you know he was trying to avoid open confrontation with the polytheists. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to avoid open confrontation with the polytheists, and they used to meet in a place which is called Darul Arqam, the house of Al Arqam. And they did that for almost 3 years. Such meetings took place for almost 3 years until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to openly now, alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh, brother Abu Maher, to openly propagate فَاصْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ as in Surah Al-Hijr, Surah 15 verse 94. Brother Hashim, are you there? I think so, inshallah. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Chapter 15 verse 94, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying فاصدع بما تؤمر وأعرض عن المشركين. Therefore proclaim openly tawheed. That's what it is, declaring the Islamic monotheism, that which you are commanded, and turn away from the mushriks, from the polytheists and these idolaters and disbelievers, and turn away from them. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up on Mount Safa and started calling the tribes by their names, the famous tribes by their names, Bani Fahr, the clan of Fahr, the clan of Uday, you know, all the major families of Quraysh. So people gathered. All of them came to see what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants from them. Why did he call upon them? And standing on Mount Safa, calling all these tribes of Quraysh to come, because he's going to address them with something that will change history. So what happened then? Ibn Abbas narrated, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, said, when the verse فَاصْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ and proclaim openly and warn your tribe, when that came, also came upon the Prophet ﷺ the other verse, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ and warn your tribe of Muhammad of near kindred. So the Prophet ﷺ went out and he ascended As-Safa mountain and he shouted, calling them by their names, people of Uday, clan of Fahr, families of Quraysh. And they were surprised. What is that? As in hadith which Ibn Abbas narrated, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. What is that? What does he want from us? Then they gathered around him, whereupon he said, do you see? If I inform you that the cavalry men are proceeding up the side of this mountain, will you believe me? They said, we have never heard you telling a lie. Look at this. They knew him He was the trustworthy sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that was their response: we have never heard you telling a lie. Then he said, I am a plain warner. I am a plain warner to you of a coming severe punishment. There was one person there amongst them, and this was the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by the name of Abu Lahab. Abu Lahab. What did Abu Lahab say in response? Tabban lak. He said, may you perish. Alihada jama'atana, you gathered us only for this reason. Then Abu Lahab went away. So Allah revealed Surah Al-Masad. Surah Al-Masad, which is number 111. And in it, Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin wa tab. The translation of the meaning, perish the hands of Abu Lahab. Perish the hands of Abu Lahab. This was revealed. This hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the command, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, and warn your immediate kindred or near kindred. Those are the closest to him. And they are more deserving in terms of his benevolence, in terms of the goodness that he is bringing. He is bringing the goodness from the aspect of the deen as well as the aspect of this life. And this doesn't contradict the fact that he is called to warn the entire mankind. This is as if someone is, if man is commanded to do good in general, then it will be told to him, for example, be good to your parents, be good to your kindred. So this is only asserting it for some people, and that's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made, a general one and a special one, a general proclamation as well as a specific one. And he admonished them, and he didn't leave anything, he didn't hide anything from them, except that he brought to them for their own benefit, for their own guidance. Some of them accepted, some of them turned away and rejected. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next verse in Surah Al-Shu'ara, which is chapter 26, let's examine these verses because they are so important in terms of the message that they carry. 26, 214, 220. Let's take them inshallah one by one. We covered this first verse, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, and warn your near kindred. وَخْفِضْ جَنَاحَكَ لِمَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. The next verse, which will be 215, Surah Al-Shu'ara number 26, verse 215. And be kind and humble to the believers who follow you. Allahu Akbar. Al-Shaykh Abdul Rahman ibn Sa'di, may Allah's mercy be upon him, commented on this verse by saying, in such way, in your kindness and humbleness and your good character, in such matters you will accomplish the perfection of good morality, through which many benefits may be achieved and through which a great deal of harm could be repelled. And this is most befitting for anyone who believes in Allah and His Messenger, and who claims that he is a follower of this deen, that he shouldn't be except on the following of the noble character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, since he is our leader and he is the best example to follow. And thus one shouldn't have the violent character, the tough approach, putting his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in another verse, where in chapter 3, which is very related to this, in chapter 3 verse 159, فَبِمَ رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. In Surah Al Imran, chapter 3, verse 159. Let's have this verse, Brother Abu Maher, and we'll go back to this, inshallah, because this is related to the to verse 215, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to be humble and kind. Chapter 3, verse 159. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ, and by the mercy of Allah you dealt with them gently. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ, and had you been severe and harsh hearted, they would have broken away from about you. فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ, so pass over their faults. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ, and ask Allah's forgiveness for them, and consult them in the affairs. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. So if one of us sees a believer committing a sin or a bad approach or errs in a way, then we should remember this verse, that he should be called in the way which is good. In the way which is good. And not to resort into immediate harsh ways and severe ways in dealing with him or her. There are certain regulations as to those who insist on acts of disobedience or those who insist on acts of innovations. There are levels in terms of dealing with them. But the general approach is to provide the good knowledge to them, to provide the evidences, to call them to the truth. And anyone who insists, then there are other levels in terms of how to deal with them. In some cases, there may be a need to desert, but in other cases, desertation may lead even to a greater mischief. And that's why each case should be taken on its own merits, in terms of particular people who indulge in such matters. It's cutting now. Is it better now, inshallah? Is the sound more clear or still a cutting? Okay, it's better. Yes, you're right, absolutely. Then Allah commands the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم by saying, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْعَزِيزِ الرَّحِيمِ, and depend upon, have your trust in the Almighty, the Most Merciful. These are now chapter, if you can go back, Brother Abu Maher, to the verses that you pasted, that you posted early. Naam. And put your trust in Allah, the Almighty, the Most Merciful. الَّذِي يَرَاكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ, the one who sees you, O Muhammad, when you stand up alone at night for tahajjud, for night prayers. وَتَقَلُّبَكَ فِي السَّاجِدِينَ, and your movements among those who fall prostrate along with you to Allah in the five compulsory prayers. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Innahu huwa as-sami'u al-alim. Verily, He, Allah, is the one who is all hearer, all knower. So Allah is the one to seek for help and to depend upon for a person to consult, to be able to conclude the affairs that he is interested in. And what does the tawakkul mean? Tawakkul, having trust and dependence upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it means having full trust of the heart. Such dependence, such true dependence on Allah will bring benefits and will repel a lot of harm. Having, with the conditions of having good opinion of Allah, having good opinion of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring forth what is good for the person. There Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِي يَرَاكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ. Allah who sees you when you stand for your night prayers, O Muhammad. From this it is deducted that the person should remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is close to us. He sees us in our actions, and especially those matters that are related to worship. And the highest of that is the salah. The highest of that is the salah. And he is the one, that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ended the verse by saying, إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. He is the one who is all hearer, all seer, subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another verse concerning the propagation of the message, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in chapter 5, Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 67. يا أيها الرسول بلغ ما أنزل إليك من ربك. O messenger, proclaim that which had been sent to you from your Lord Allah. Let's have that verse inshallah, chapter 5, verse 67. O messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, which has been sent, yes, proclaim that which has been sent to you down to you from your Lord. And if you don't, then you have not conveyed his message. Allah will protect you from mankind. Verily Allah guides not the people who disbelieve. The noble Sheikh Sheikh bin Sa'di, the Mufassir, the great scholar of tafsir, he said concerning this verse, this is a command from Allah to his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it has the highest and most noble command. That is the proclamation to Allah, proclaiming the message so that people can hear us. Included in this message, the creed, the actions, the sayings, the legislations, and all that is demanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, so he proclaimed it perfectly, called and warned, gave glad tidings and warnings, and taught the ignorant until they became scholars. He did by his sayings, he did by his actions, he did by his writings, dictating the message to kings and to rulers, and he sent messengers as well, emissaries. He didn't leave anything good sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except that he conveyed to the ummah. He didn't leave anything which is evil, except that he warned the ummah from indulging in it. From mankind, who witnessed for this were his companions and those who followed them, from the great and noble scholars of Islam. Allah promised to protect him so that he would give his most attention to the teaching and to the conveyance of the message. And he made it clear to him that you shouldn't fear the creatures, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had promised to protect you. You have to proclaim and proclaim clearly. And as to those who are guided, they are only benefiting themselves. As to those who disbelieve, they followed their desires after all things had been made clear to them, and therefore they will not be led to goodness. They will not achieve it because they preferred their desires to follow. So he proclaimed openly and he told them, I am the messenger of Allah to you, and to all mankind, and that you will die, he told them, and that you will be resurrected, and you will be reckoned with, and you will be given the decrees, either to paradise forever or to hell forever. At this point, we can, inshallah, stop so that we resume this task of knowing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in other days, inshallah, as follows. And Allah, the Most High, knows best. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.